Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Behind Massive Screens, a game development podcast here at Massive Entertainment in Malmö, Sweden. My name's Dori, joined by my co-host Petter.
Hello.
And well, today we're going to talk a little bit about UI, but first of course, we have to have a little bit of a chat, right?
The banter part.
The banter.
I was hoping you had the banter prepared because I had nothing today.
No, I mean, I had a little business trip all last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to tell you about it, but then there would be an annoying beep in the recording because we can't talk about that, any of that yet.
Oh, I was thinking that is so, that was so crazy that this have to be beeped.
Yes, but we are joined by UI artist Anna. Welcome.
Hello.
And yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about her job and her journey at in becoming a UI artist here at Massive.
Yeah.
So I thought we'll start with the very first standard question. And that is, what is a UI artist? And kind of in broad strokes, what is the job description?
So basically, I think that we have to describe what UI is, first of all. So UI is basically a language to communicate with a machine, computer program, maybe, or even other devices. It doesn't have to be even, you know, like digital. With a user, with in our, of course, in our case, it's a player. So basically, that's it, and it contains all of the visual language that we can provide, as for example, like a typography, shapes, colors, sounds, design.
Yeah. So in broad strokes, when I think of UI, I think of, you know, the HUD that the went well.
That's a part of the health.
And you know the mini map and all that stuff.
That's a part.
Yeah,
but
it goes
not
deeper
only
than
that.
Yes, yeah.
Exactly. That's the first, of course. When you think, it's an easier way to just firstly describe. Yeah, that's it. On HUD, you have basically information about your character, what's going on with this. So basically, it's giving you information. But that's not only that. There's menus. There's other elements in environment. There's even small indicators around the character. It's like it's not only a HUD. It's basically everything that bring you to the game world. It can be also like providing you some stories. It's sometimes even like a crucial part of the game, because really often UI can be something totally separate from the game and from the story that we're gonna want to provide. It's only just a tool. As I would compare it to when we have all of the telephone apps. Usually, it's not building any story to our life. Usually, because it can be. For example, I will bring, for example, Duolingo, but it's also kind of gamey app. But for example, I can't imagine that my mail application would try to set a story for me with every time I'm receiving mail from my. From a landlord, you know, like basically I don't need that.
The most depressing story.
And yeah, like in a game, game UI, it's a little bit different, and I would say more interesting story because it's more freely, you can play with this more, and it depends of course, what we decided on the beginning, what we want to set up. It can be I'm repeating myself, but we can basically provide part of the story, which UI is a crucial element to this.
Yeah.
And if I understood you correctly, a part of the job of the UI artist is figuring out what that information is from the game and then how to translate it to the user, basically.
Yeah, basically that.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you talk about like the story a UI can tell, because it definitely can break the story as well if you have like a dramatic game. I'm not going to mention any names, but there are times when you're playing a dramatic fantasy game, for example, and the UI is just doesn't fit, and then everything kind of starts falling apart because the way, as you said, the way you interact with the game suddenly becomes completely off.
Yeah, that's... There's a popular sentence, it's like what makes UI good, that it's not noticeable. But it's not mean that it's invisible. It's not the same. Noticeable, it means that it's just a part of the world.
Yeah.
It's just set up with the mood. It's just... interact with you and with character. It can be diegetic, and that's the also like one interesting point of diegetic UI, like that's even applied in the Division game, that basically it's not something, you know, like out of the world of the character can interact with that. So it can be on the watch, it can be a book, for example, like some glossary, and that's also UI, basically. So of course, it can be also simple when it have to be. You know, like you don't have to be super fancy or super artistically provide, but it have to be still graphically good.
Right.
Like I can't imagine some funny game, like super lighthearted game for kids with super dark font, black, you know, like with all of the blood, you know, like it might, of course, probably it can be somewhere, but probably it's not for a game for a kid.
It will give the, like the wrong subliminal feeling.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like the connection between these two worlds. It's super important.
I think we had a similar discussion actually with Alex, audio director here, about audio. It's just kind of the same thing. When it's good, you don't really notice as such, but when it's bad, you really notice.
Yeah, like, because it's also building the world.
Exactly. So how did you end up doing UI? What was your journey into the world of UI art, but also your way here to Massive?
I always wanted to. I remember I've been doing something with art. I still love cartoons, and I remember when I was a kid, I remember at the kindergarten, our teacher or our nanny asked us for draw yourself in the future, and I was drawing myself as my mother with, you know, like the perm on the head, you know, like this old communistic, post-communistic stylized fashion. And I was, as this person, I was hanging like some illustration on the laundry line. And that's supposed to be, that's how I imagine production of animation, like cartoon.
Right.
It's very meta. You drawing yourself in the future, you drew yourself kind of drawing.
Yeah, kind of. But I mean, that's my first recognition that I set up my thought that maybe I should do it. Then I've been in arts high school, and after high school I get myself to Academy of Fine Arts as a graphic designer. But I think I never felt at home at Academy, because it was, I'm not saying that it's the thing that I've been doing there that wasn't cool or interesting, that was amazing, but still I felt that it's not fully me.
Right.
So it was like, you know, the packaging, editorial design, basically everything that it's usually only manual art. I remember at least at my times that wasn't super popular to do like a digital paint at Academy. So I felt that it's probably not surely me. And I remember I chose, I remember that wasn't that far. I chose multimedia as my specialization. So I've been doing some animation, typography animation, even 2D, frame by frame. I've been doing this a little bit. So yeah, but after a graduation, it's not that easy to find a job in the field. I get a job as a graphic designer in an office, some business office. And it was cool. I mean, people was cool, but job-wise, I've probably not been feeling still the vibe. And one of the days I found it in one of the Polish game dev studios that they hiring for a 2D graphic intern.
Right.
And I remember this correctly. That was 2D graphic intern. I'm like, yeah, why not? Maybe I should try. My partner says like, yeah, like do it. Like what is the issue of not trying? I'm like, yeah, true. And like then I get a test. And on the test was like UI art. Like, what's UI? You know, like I on my test, I receive task to prepare some icons. And I was thinking like, yeah, this is typical thing that graphic designer doing. So it's nothing that I've never done. But then like, yeah, I received this job and I was like UI art intern. So I was like, concern was that, and I just checking in the Google and like, it's probably not that far what I'm doing, so let's try it. And after that, it wasn't that easy because I need to say that I've not been playing for a long time in this period of high school and academy, because I didn't just have a device to play on, or you know, like that wasn't the time when everyone have internet and laptop. It was like a little bit more in the past.
It was a period of serious business.
Yes. And you know, like this was also like a little bit shame to play, because it's a waste of time, you know, like, so I was thinking about this. It's like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't spend time on that. And after I start to work in a game dev industry, I realized that what huge gap I have, you know, right. Like games change so much and I just simply don't understand what's going on.
Right.
I have a knowledge with a graphic design field, but I don't know how to use it properly. So then starts the best part of my career, and I've been doing research. You know, like, I start to play, and yeah, that was pretty great time.
It was good. I was kind of wondering about that when you said about the icons on your test. So were they like game? I'm guessing they were game related icons you were asked to create. And how you went from, as you say, you had a gap in playing, how you were able to still kind of maybe not nothing, but still.
Yeah, like, because.
Hey, here are game concepts. Make these.
Because that particular quest, I'm speaking still quest, task.
It's all right. You've been playing games for a while now.
I'm doing my research too much, maybe. because that particular part of my test was super digital painting.
Yep.
So that was something that I've been doing for a long time, and that's the reason why it was probably good.
Right.
And they like it. So that's how I get this position. And yeah, like that starts this whole period of just learning and realizing that there's so much to do in UI. It's not only about icons, or it's not only about typography, it's more. And basically what brings me the most to UI is that I have so much opportunities to do animation.
Right.
And yeah, as I know that this is like a long story, but that's the reason why I bring my mother figure on the beginning. That, yeah, I'm finally doing this. Yeah. I'm happy, you know. So, of course, it take a time to, you know, like get the knowledge, as I said, but it was worth it. Yeah. And I would say that even for people who don't know what to do, sometimes it's just like, sometimes it's worth to check and worth to get attached to the thing that you are doing. And because, as I said, for me, it wasn't easy. No. I would say it wasn't easy, but now I feel pretty amazing. I kind of love it. I love it. So it's like, it's great that I found this, found the field.
Yeah. Find what you want to do, hone in, and then do your research.
Sometimes you don't have a proper name. Sometimes you have to find it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like 2D.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
After that, you know, like I finish couple of projects, and then I get my. Once I check my ArtStation account, and I had a message, and I ignored that for a month. I ignored this message for a month, and then opened this, and I realized that was some message from HR partner from Ubisoft.
Right.
Yeah. So I was wondering if it's even available still, like this offer. But it was. So I just set up. We set up the meeting, and here I am. So that's happened. That's how it's happened. And of course, it wasn't easy to leave my previous team. But for me, I always wanted to try to work. Work abroad. Also, I forgot to mention, because yeah, like English is not my first language, so now it's an opportunity to learn.
Right.
Of course, it's also take time, but I feel like even after a year, it's much, much, much better. Even that I am here, I get I get the courage to do it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah. And then after this hour, it'll be even better.
Right. But yeah. That was that was a great opportunity to try.
Yeah.
And also my partner, my dogs, they had to stay at my country. But as Sweden is not that far, I have only 1 hour flight.
Yeah, that's right.
To Warsaw. So it's pretty okay. We are just, we are managing this. So yeah. It's not that terrible. Also, Sweden is beautiful. I love it. Like, yeah.
And also Malmo, where we are, is essentially as close to Poland
charming.
As you can get in this
country.
Yeah,
it's super charming, by the way. I was thinking on the beginning, like when I came here, like, oh, it's pretty small.
Yeah.
In comparison to Warsaw, which is capital.
Yeah.
So it's like, I didn't realize that. As far as I heard, it's like third biggest city in Sweden, but it's so tiny. But it's not working like that. It's super, super nice and charming. People are kind, and I really like it. And Sweden as a place for biking is one of the best places I've been. So yeah, I find a lot of enjoyment here. So yeah. I'll recommend.
We've also learned that sometimes random messages on the internet can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Just stay vigilant.
Yeah. Yeah, make sure to check your inbox on LinkedIn and ArtStation.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah, maybe it's better on ArtStation than Facebook.
I mean, I didn't even think that might be there, you know? No. Like, maybe on LinkedIn, yeah, but on ArtStation was like super, super surprising. It's like finding, I don't know, like $10 in your old pants, you know? Like, it's like, oh, it's there.
Every viewer or listener with an ArtStation account going, oh, I need to fix my ArtStation account as soon as possible. Need to clean this up. what do you, okay, so let's start. Let's start the recording.
It's time to head over into the deep end and dive a little bit more into the life and job of a UI artist. And I think one of the first questions that I have is, because I've heard these terms a lot and I'm not really sure what the difference is between the two, UI and UX.
It's a deep topic.
Oh, okay. But okay, let's
record a whole episode just about this topic.
It's a deep topic and I want to go really, really only on the surface.
Okay. Yeah.
So basically, UI is a user interface. UX is a user experience. And it's pretty often attached. UX is pretty often attached only to interfaces, but it's not how it should work. Because UX is attached to every part of the experience of the player have. Not only, of course, it's part of the interfaces too, but it's also the holistic experience of the whole game. Right. So it's a more to expand, and I would just like to keep it on this.
Different focus, but there's a lot of like cooperation work between the two.
Part of, but it's not only that.
Okay. No. Yeah, we'll leave it here, and then we'll also get somebody from UX.
Yeah, one that would be great. Yeah, like, I will leave them at this part.
But what kind of, like, usually we tend to take these kinds of like hypothetical games, but let's settle on a game again. We settled on we were exploding barrels and stuff.
Yeah, let's continue our journey of the first person shooter.
Let's do it. What kind of game should it be? Modern, well, it's still a modern shooter, obviously. You shoot in red barrels. But where in game development, so we have a first-person shooter, that's what we're planning. It's supposed to be in a modern setting, and you're supposed to be able to shoot red barrels, right? Yeah. That's as far as we've gotten in our game design document.
Yeah, and there was a hallway as well.
There's a hallway. Yeah. There's a car and stuff. But where, at which point kind of do the UI artists start getting involved into like the starting to put things together?
Always is involved.
Oh, from the beginning.
From the beginning.
Yeah, because if we want to start even, of course, we usually starting with researching for the mood of the game. But in the same time, we have to think about the functionality. We need to know, of course, now we know that this is a first person shooter. That's at least good that we know that.
That's the beginning.
Yeah. So, and then we kind of need to listen, we have to listen what's there in the game already, because it depends a lot what we gonna provide after, because some decision can be made for one type of game on another, and sometimes we have lot of things set up, we have to throw it away because sometimes decisions are changed.
Yep.
You know, like we for a long time, of course, we're trying to bring up the mood, as I was saying before. The whole designing process is involving all of the parts. Like, usually, of course, sometimes we are focusing only like, now we have to only think about art.
Yep.
And that's it. We're not thinking about nothing else, because we need to know what we want to have as a base. And the colors, the typography usually is one of the part. Shapes, what button can be, you know, like it's gonna be, I don't know, like squares or triangles. It's whatever. Like we have to know what we need and what gonna be. Doing a hamster in the wheel.
I'm guessing like one of the main first questions is, for example, with our hypothetical first person shooter, are we going to do an organic UI where, for example, let me just pull a couple of examples out of thin air. Metro where it's all in a like a diary, mm-hmm. Fallout where you have the watch and then everything that's shown on screen when you're not looking at the watch kind of resembles that, so you feel like you're always getting the UI from the watch, or is it like separate? It's just, you know.
We should look at the story then.
Yeah.
Boom. We have to look at the story.
Yeah. So is that like a conversation that you bring up with the game devs of like, hey, should we look into how the story is, how we want the UI? So it's like a cooperation from the beginning.
Yeah, basically. Like as I was bringing it before, like this is like a word creation. It just depends on the decision what we are making, if it's possible imagine part of it, but also with the technical part, because sometimes we can have super crazy idea how to present some systems, but for example, engine is not able to manage it. So there's so many parts that we have to bring together. We have to establish so many systems, and we have to always work with other teams.
Yeah.
Like this is the one of the most important part, I would say, that it's not only you have a task and do it. With every task you get in, you always talking with other departments and teams. It's probably not possible for you to just go with the flow and just don't talk with other people. It's just it have to be a cluster to everything. So as we talking before, if we manage to make in a UI that it's part of the world, it's gonna be visible, and it's not good in that way. I mean, visible, noticeable,
noticeable,
and it's not gonna be good. So
if you as a player find yourself looking for some information that you want to have in the moment, and it's not just readily available, then yeah, the UI is not really doing its job, basically.
Yeah.
It feels like you were talking about the Pip-Boy and stuff now. It definitely feels UI when you start scratching. We started out talking about the HUD again, probably for a first-person shooter, you get to see how many mm-hmm. bullets you have left, etc. But it feels like when you're scratching the surface now of the various things and listening to you talk about it, it's definitely another rabbit hole we're going down mm-hmm. here, because we're not only dealing with like how fancy does the explosions look, it's really like how does it fit into the world,
it's
the
not,
story, game design,
only,
gameplay.
It's not only have to be fancy.
No.
But it's also have to give proper feedback for a player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes even better, it's not gonna look so, you know, like extremely VFX-y. It's better to just bring just simple data.
Yeah.
Because it's more more proper for a gameplay.
Yeah.
So that's another decision that have to be made.
But how does the process look in... you're talking about how it's iterative, how you have to throw stuff away and start over. But when you start over, what is like the first thing that you and your team establishes?
And when we're starting over?
Yeah. When you start a brand new...
Uh-huh. Probably we have to talk what's not okay with the previous one.
Right.
Yeah. So, or maybe what we only have to... Maybe there's not have to be... everything throw away. Maybe we can only change bits and bobs there and here and there, and it's gonna make a solution.
Yeah.
We have to be smart.
But how does, in general, like how you work with other teams, we were talking about the different teams you work with. Like how much can one small change in gameplay have on you? Like, okay, so
mm-hmm.
we're not doing bullets anymore. We're now doing something else, like superpowers.
Let's do a classic extreme. So we were making a first-person shooter.
Oh,
now it's third-person.
I know that is going to be boom.
Okay. Okay. You took it all away.
I'm going to be annoying, but I will say again, it depends. But yeah, that's true. It's sometimes, you know, like that's huge change for a gameplay. It doesn't mean that it's going to change the whole UI.
Right.
I can say like, you know, like if, for example, UI now have to be a part of, I don't know, like your vision, because previously that was like some element around the screen.
Yeah, lights in the helmet that the character puts on.
Yeah,
something.
Now you are seeing everything from the first person. That can be a nice solution. So, for example, you have everything what you see, it's exactly the same thing that players see. I mean, characters see.
Yeah. Mm.
So that might be a pretty nice new point of view, but don't have to be. You know, like, for example, if you had all of the elements as a third-person shooter and all of everything going around, it still can be there as a first-person shooter. It's just about decision-making.
Mm.
And create sometimes, I'm not saying that, you know, like leaving that, that's the same solution for a third-person shooter as a for first-person shooter is not creative, because it's not what I mean. But I wanted to say that it's all about what we think that it might be cooler, or how much time we can have for it, because sometimes it's, of course, we can't do, if it's too late, we can't make such huge changes. That's understandable. If way of shooting is changing, or maybe weapon is changing, or way how you get damage is changing, that's more impactful. You know? So because that's more about feedback just in the real life, and you have to recognize how now it's presented to player, because with situation we've had only with first person and third person, it's only changing of this, not changed that much.
Yeah, it's the same data presented
yes
differently. Mm.
But if you are changing some gameplay features, like that it's I mean, that's also gameplay features, I mean, like that it's crucially changing the flow of the game. In the, I don't know, maybe we decided to change how our inventory works.
Mm.
That's the part that you have to go a little bit more,
yeah.
Rethink that. But yeah, like, it depends.
I mean, I was also thinking the other way around, how UI then affects. Because now we're talking to us, okay, gameplay, they are making big changes and that affects UI, but can UI, can we go the other way around as well? Like UI affecting gameplay in a more direct sense? I'm kind of thinking about The Division, where you have the UI kind of hanging magically off the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that kind of has a direct effect on how you play the game, how your eye moves. And
Definitely, because... we need to add that UI is also a gameplay feature.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
so, yeah, of course it can be attached for, I mean, like, of course UI can be a lead feature how whole experience work.
Yeah.
There's a, probably there's a lot of games this who just provide. I can't bring, you know, like any examples, but I have it in my head that, yeah, that was pretty often applied, that all of your experiences lead by UI. It's like, yeah, basically that's the main feature.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, of course it can be possible.
Yeah.
Because it's not that UI is only had an inventory. It's basically so many elements in the game, and it it's not only that we have only shooters in game world. So it can be totally different systems. And it's very important to know what we want to provide as an information.
Right. Yeah. And I guess also when you're starting a project and you're starting to map out how you want the UI to function, you also start a little bit with players' preconceived notions. Like there is a certain language already established within games that players are used to.
Yeah,
of course. So then you're like, okay, where are we going to fit to that? Where are we going to change away from that? And, be creative and introduce something new.
Yeah, I would say that we can discover a wheel for again.
Yeah.
But we usually don't have to or should, or we shouldn't. I can...
Yeah, it has to be like a real decision to reinvent the wheel because it's like, okay, this works.
Yeah, you have to
but we can make it better.
You have to be sure that this wheel gonna be better.
Yeah.
Usually. It's because if you want to invent it again, it's like for what? So I would like to say that we are as a still pretty primal creatures as we are. And with a combination with our culture, we have some established systems of what we get as information. I can ask you, for example, what you can associate with color red?
Damage, danger,
yeah. Stop,
and also health. That's also like
But
still, like it's recognizable.
It depends on if you're seeing it in the environment or on the screen. If it's like growing around your eyes. That's damage.
Yeah. But it's on a health bar. It can be health. But still, it's recognizable. Same thing with green.
That's what I would normally associate with health.
Yeah.
Or poison.
Yeah, or poison. Or exactly.
Currency.
Currency, yeah. but yeah, like overall, that's the thing that I can ask you at 3 a.m. and you're going to probably recognize.
Yeah.
And it's not about the games, but also like you have this on the streets. And like it's also like the system of light in the streets. That's also UI.
Yeah.
And it's the basic colors that I bring. Yeah. That's just basically it. Same thing with, for example, shapes. What's the difference between triangle or circle?
Yeah, triangle definitely, again, like danger.
Yeah.
We were talking about before.
Yeah, danger or slow down, look
out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like it's just a major knowledge.
Yeah.
And I would even, for example, for me, it's also like super important, the music part in a games, for example, that, for example, if I hear in drums, I already know that something's going to be...
Yeah,
there's going to be action. Yeah,
the battle music.
Yes, exactly. But when I hear some calm harp, I know that I can chill. It's basically, of course, part of this is on us as we, because we are just... It's because of the nature and how probably red was always like predicted as a something first danger. But on the other hand, maybe this is good to eat, like a red apple or something like that. And I would say with the shapes, it's more about the culture.
Yeah.
And I would also bring it with fonts in a UI sphere, that we have so many sheriff fonts and non-sheriff fonts. And when I see sheriff font, the first thing I notice about that's, all right, so this is something serious. Maybe for a text, for a reading, because it's not gonna work, but for a titles.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Roman Empire. Yeah, like that's the first first association with that. And yeah, like I think that it's pretty amazing. It's like a part of psychology. So it's also like a really, really interesting field to search. And as we talk about talking about the wheel, we can flip it, but we have to be sure that it's going to work. So it can, of course. There's some crazy situation that people are doing that, but it's good to remember what red's going to be associated for people for the first time. For example, I can bring it like in the cyberpunk, it was like the red is a main color. And that was a quest to do it associated as a main color, but not only always associated with only danger.
Mm.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's possible, but it has to be done properly.
And then you need to kind of educate properly in like the beginning steps of the game to show like what is what. And then now this is our visual language in this game going forward.
Yeah. Mm. So it's basically you have to make a decision between what you want to go crazy with or what you want to just not make players have to learn. Yeah. Even with the iconography, as we bring with the shape forms, like we can do health with a triangle, but it's gonna be closer with the circle, of course, with the red cross. But this is not everyone want to use it because it's a kind of trademark. But health is more about the soft, the smooth shape, and triangle is the attack.
Yeah, I think like health potions tend to be rounder,
magical
potions tend to be a little bit more.
And
And
poison is usually in the
vial.
You're gonna kill somebody with the vial. Yeah.
And I think in one of our previous episodes when we were talking about VFX, when John mentioned like try making fire that heals and see how long it takes for the player to try it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, probably the first thing I would do is make it blue.
or green. But,
but it's still a fire. Like from the gas. I mean, from the... it's gas, it's blue. So it's still hot and it's still dangerous. So it's not my first thing. Hey, maybe I want to touch it, you know?
But we're working with the UI, you said you come from a graphic designer education. Mm-hmm. Technically, like when you sit down and work on these things, what kind of programs do you use? What kind of software do you actually conception up to the final game?
Here in Massive, we are working with Adobe softwares, but it's not have to be that and only. It can be sometimes UI can be also made in a 3D program. So it's not about it have to be done in a particular one. And pretty often you have to remember that it's good to know engine.
Yeah.
Because on the end, it's always have to be applied to engines. So.
Yeah, it needs to be integrated.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, but I will not say that it's something that it's important to have, it's just... That's how we were working here, but it's not mean that we will not will be possible to working on some different software.
Yeah, I guess it's more that having an understanding of how the process works, and then you can apply that to whichever program you're making it in.
Yeah.
What that actually reminded me of something we were talking about in Engine, because there's a technical side that we haven't really talked about, like how UI needs to, like, memory wise, like game wise, UI will come into play. No, but if your UI is too complicated or you have too much information and stuff, and then you have stuff happening on screen because UI is still on, like, inside the engine in the game, at some point it's going to start taking up memory as well.
Oh, yeah.
Showing all all this information.
Oh,
when because I remember that's one of the things when I started in the industry, when somebody told me, like, wait, we have to change the UI to make this work. I was like, okay, change the UI. I was like, no, you don't understand. I was like, it's one of the worst. Like for memory, we can't do this.
Yeah.
When does that come into much more complicated than people at home would normally think it is?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to think always about not making this too overwhelming with data memory. But pretty often it's just, you know, like, you know, we can see in a process what we can do or what we can't.
Yeah.
Also, there's, you know, like when we are implementing things, there's plenty of shaders that we are using. So sometimes we can, maybe we can have to find another solution how to not apply a shader. But we have to find another way to present it. Sometimes we have to make a little bit low res textures if it's not, if it's not super necessary to have it high quality.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't need to be crisp 4K.
Yeah,
if it's
exactly.
Only a little part of the screen.
Exactly. If you don't have to, let's make it a little bit low res. And yeah, but it's usually we can say that something is a little bit more overwhelming after you know, like implementing. It's of course, as I said, you have to have it the back in your head that it can be like some mammoth of texture or file or widget, but it's just a process. Yeah.
I think every single department we've ever had on the podcast and talked about, it always in the end comes back to, and then we need to check, you know, how much memory it takes and make sure that everything runs in the game.
And sometimes, you know, like maybe we can't take it from UI. We have to take it from other element.
Yeah.
Maybe UI have to stay the mammoth in that part.
Yeah, so technically it's a game, as you said, you call it a gameplay feature. It is a gameplay feature.
Yeah,
so sometimes something else will have to go.
Yeah. We'll only have one exploding red barrel instead of the two.
Unacceptable. I'm calling in the game director.
But I want to hear a little bit about how it is working as a UI artist here at Massive.
Mm-hmm.
Like your day-to-day, so to speak. You come in and you just boot up Adobe and get to work? Or
yes. But first of all, I would like to a little bit make a segue between our previous topic to this
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That I need to say that I can really feel that in Massive, the UI department is a department, and it's not some, you know, like last in the food chain element that no one cares. We can feel that we are important and we are also cared about. So that's the really good feel. I'm usually going to work and set up my station and start to check in my mail, of course, the first foremost, because you have to check your little calendar if there's not extra meeting just appear. We are working super closely to other teams, and UI department contain, you know, like programmers, technical artists, UX designers, and we are manage to work together. Our production is very caring and helpful. And we, as an art team, we are giving each other feedback almost every time we need it. And this is, you can't even imagine how it's helpful, because sometimes you're stuck with such little things, and you know, like you just need to just somebody like, just can I talk with you? You know, like just, I really don't know how to do this. I mean, like I've made so many iterations and I'm just stuck. And somebody just came and like, oh, I bet you tried this and this. Like, huh, that's interesting. Yeah, that might work. And we are working like that. We never, you know, like if somebody need us together, like we are doing this. And also like we are pretty easygoing people. So we like each other. At least I hope so. I guess. But yeah, like... I am super happy to be in our team, like, and we are totally different people to each other. Like our characters are so different. Our specialities are so different that that's a, the perfect, in a I would even say that it's like utopia way of setup, that we really complement each other. Right. And I know I sound a little bit, maybe I'm sugarcoating, but I'm not. I really love to work with this team. So yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just a kind of nice, like wholesome, nice stuff to hear.
I'm feel a warmth.
I'm happy. Yeah, exactly. So if, especially, I think there's a bunch of graphical design designers out there who might be interested in moving over to UI to apply it in a different way than they are today, like kind of like you did.
Yeah, or even some 2D artists out there that didn't know that UI was a thing.
A thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're about to apply to an internship for a 2D.
Yes.
A graphic. Art,
intern at a studio they never heard about before. No, but where do you think, in general, just for graphic design for one, but definitely for UI, where do you think, like, where should I start? If I'm listening to you now and I think it sounds awesome.
I would say that it's important to bring it again, play a game.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Step number one, covered. Okay.
Yeah. And we have just try to analyze this and maybe even try to make your own project. Maybe not, you know, like necessary to just, you know, like just make another iteration for a game that is already existing, because sometimes it can be taken like as a little bit. So you think you're doing this better? Yeah, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that don't do it, but sometimes it's taken this way. For sure, like, yeah, like just focus on some your own project and try to do it. It might be super fun. And I would say don't be super, you know, like scared about that. Also, if you would like to apply your CV to this position, don't try to make your portfolio, because portfolio is super important. Don't make the portfolio only contains anything beside UI. If you're gonna send you can be amazing artist, even maybe amazing UI designer / artist, but if you're gonna send portfolio with paintings of sunset, it's probably not gonna make it.
don't try to slide your world building art in there as well.
Yeah, like it have to be something there that it provides information to recruitment team that you have a knowledge a little bit of what you can do in this field.
Yeah.
I will not say that you have to be amazing artist or amazing typographer. To be honest, like, you just have to have a passion and you have to have a will to learn and explore this world. Because I would say that there's the thing that, you know, like, if somebody doing everything, that's probably it's for nothing. I don't remember this full sentence in English, but there's a popular this sentence that, oh, you're doing so many things and you probably can't do nothing in a specific.
Yeah, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yes.
Yeah,
that one. And I would not agree with that, because it's good that you are interested in so many things, because it's good to have. But also, you don't scare to don't have some. Just try. It's like basically it. And I would say also with portfolio, if you have your own project already or you want to prepare some, please try to don't just throw your files into you know, like the page or whatever you are doing this. Try to think how to present it. because it's super important. The first glance is almost everything. Yeah. Yeah. And
I would even say, think of the user interface of your CV or and your portfolio.
Yeah, kind of. if I will suggest that a good way to check how to do it is a page Behance.net and just type UI and a UI game or anything in the tags, something like that. And just check how people do in this. You don't have to be super crazy because there's people who do an amazing job with that. With the presentation is the its own work.
Yeah.
Of course it's cool, but you don't have to be that crazy, but at least just manage it.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah.
There's actually recently uploaded a video about how to make sure, and it's kind of exactly what Dana was saying now, how to make your portfolio stand out.
Indeed.
In this industry.
Yeah, on the massive YouTube channel, you can find our top five series. We have five videos from the recruitment team here at Massive, where they go in the top five tips for various parts of the recruitment process. And one of them is, yes, how to create your portfolio.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Yeah. I think we got most of that knowledge here already, but it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Still check out our videos, please. But
give us those clicks.
Give us all the clicks, please. But when it comes to like schools and stuff, you came from an Academy of Fine Arts and then, well, you went into game design via a trick internship, essentially.
Yes.
But what would you recommend people do for again, starting out? Like, is there any like mm-hmm. schools or anything like that, or just get
you
going?
I don't know if there's any specific academy with that profile, you know. No, yet. No. I mean, of course, there's graphic design, and I will recommend this in some part. I mean, some part. Yeah, I will recommend it if you want to go for this artistic attempt.
Yeah, it seems like a good step.
Yeah, good first step. Yeah. But in the meantime, don't let yourself think that games are not games are waste of time or it's not art or because it is.
Let's keep on playing.
Yeah, exactly. And this is come on, the industry is huge right now. So if you even think about get a job there, so there's an answer. Like, no, games are not waste of time.
Yeah.
20-year-old me playing World of Warcraft way too much is super happy right now.
Okay. I'm going to send that clip to my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
I have 600 deaths in Hades.
That's dedication.
That's a crazy attempt. Of it. I don't know. I love this game so much. It's, but yeah, like I still try. Every time even if I'm just doing this mindless, I just trying to think. Oh, there's number here, and I never notice it. You know, like, and this is part of UI, and you know, like it's. Yeah. Now I am in the setup. Finally, that I am always looking at this, and I just
always analytical.
Even if I am doing something 600 times, I'm still doing this with unnoticing something new.
Yeah.
But yeah, like graphic design in an academy is probably good, but first of all, check online courses. Yeah. And it's more efficient in this specific field. There's a lot of communities to check. For example, We Can Fix It in the UI. I am there also, and plenty of people know. There's.
I love that name.
We Can Fix It in UI. Yeah. You can do your own research with some pages. Like one of the great examples is like gameuidatabase.com. It's really huge archive of data. What else? In Malmo, for example, there is a game assembly, and one of my colleagues finished the program of like a UI as a specialization.
Yep.
So it's possible. Of course, go to the game jams. It's like the most efficient, probably, like to get knowledge not only about UI but all the production for a game. So it's, and probably get new friends and chill a little bit.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And find somebody that's very specialized and love to do what they're doing, and then offer them your help with, for example, UI, something
Sounds
that they
great.
Don't yeah. want to focus too much on.
And in Malmo also there's a GEM mentorship. It's game empowerment movement group, and this is one of the huge organization in Malmo. And what else? Buy some books. I can recommend. I need to read it because I have only title in Polish. And it's super long, and I don't want to, you know, like slip any of words. It's not that the words are, you know, like some Shakespearean type, but there's right. like 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
It's a long right. title.
So design interfaces, patterns for effective interaction design.
Hit us with the Polish title.
Projektowanie interfejsu, paterny dla efektywnego projektowania interfejsów.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Just like a thought, yeah.
This is not exactly... this is the same thing with going to our academy. It's like, it's not exactly about games.
Right.
But there's a lot of... efficient knowledge about UI and also in this case like UX in interactions.
Right.
So it's good to know the knowledge, like also like the same thing with psychology of human, and you know, like this, if you go in the rabbit hole, it never ends. There's always something to check and always something to learn.
Yeah.
And
it feels like the more information that you bring from other branches, like you said, psychology or, you know, language theory or shape theory, and then you bring that into kind of your graphic design knowledge, that's what UI is.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's plenty of things. And as I said, if you think that, oh, maybe I can't draw, so maybe I'm not doing well. No, there's so many people who are not drawing and doing amazing in this field.
Yeah, so learn to code as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can code the UI.
It's always good to code anywhere.
Yeah. All right, a lot of links in the description.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're gonna share.
Yep.
And also, like, if you. This is like small anecdote about this book I bring. I'm quite a fan of it because it's I don't know why it have a duck in a cover, and I bought it before I came to Sweden, and my name when I was in Poland I use it as an Anka because that's one way of saying Anna. And I came here, I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't, you know, present myself with that name I used to use. So now I'm Sweden, I usually use Anna, not Anka.
Anka, for the record, means duck in Swedish.
Exactly. I mean, it's cute. I'm not saying it's something that I am offended.
I can think of worse nicknames than being called duck. Especially at Massive with all the ducks in the division.
Yeah. I can't think of any that I can say on air, but yeah, there are worse ones out there.
Yeah. But thank you very much for coming here.
Thank you.
It's been very enlightening.
Thank you for having me.
And it really is, yeah, this rabbit hole just goes deeper and deeper.
Yeah,
I think we could be here for a long time.
Yeah, we'll probably not end soon. We'll go deeper.
We didn't actually even talk about the inventory screens very much. I just want to keep going.
Yeah, because it's not the main thing. Yeah, it's,
no, that's true.
It's only tiny bit.
Only an element.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But thank you very much, Anna.
Thank you.
And like and subscribe, rate and review.
Yes.
Hit the like button, all that stuff. Yeah.
Throw us a comment. Yeah. You know, help us with the algorithm.
Shoot us an email. All that stuff.
But yeah, thank you.
And check out Anna's art station and make sure to check
weird and send
messages.
Me a mail.
No, yeah. No, don't send her a mail. we're keeping her.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Bye.
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 Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.